Good morning, Park Church. My name is Tom, a privilege to serve here with you on the pastoral staff. We are turning corners, making changes, right? Here we are not only into this season, but as most of you were here and know, Matt will be shifting to full-time, which got a happy response, yeah. And we're active in the search, as Derek just said. And a lot is happening. So thank you for so many of you who have joined together in teamwork and in unity as we seek what God wants for us as a people. And it's been a delight. It's been a lot of fun. We're also making a transition out of the book of Ephesians that we traveled through into the summer into a series now that we think will impact all of us. It kind of comes out of a lot of the discussion from the book of Ephesians and is something that is pertinent in all of our lives. So here's a question to get us going in this new series. Ready? Here it is. What are you made for? Now, Matt talked a little bit about that this morning, and this is a significant question. What is it that you're made for? Most of you today, right, you already have used things like a toothbrush, a hairbrush, some clothes, an automobile, right? And now if you used your clothes to try to clean your teeth, that wouldn't be helpful. And if you counted on your toothbrush to clothe your body today, that would be especially unhelpful. And that none of you are, I can tell. And if you only used your car to fix your hair, that'd be a bad hair day. And you get the idea. Young children even can tell us that, come on, a toothbrush is made to clean your teeth. You know, a hairbrush is made to tidy up your hair, right? And your clothes are made to clothe your body. An automobile is made to get you places. I recently texted our daughters and told them, you know, I got mom a new Honda. And both our daughters said, say what? And I said, yep. You know, since I've been I've been gone a little too much from home, and we now have a smaller lawn. Some of you know we moved recently. And Jan said she's, you know, willing and able to mow the lawn. And so I got her a Honda and a lawnmower, you know. And so my story is, Jan, when you see Jan next month, she now drives two Hondas, right? But it's important which one she uses for what, right? Our car would not be helpful for cutting the grass, and our lawnmower wouldn't be helpful for getting her around. But all that to say is, you know, things are made for certain reasons, right? And it's helpful if we understand them. Here's the question, right? What are you made for? Another way to say that would be like, well, what gets you up in the morning? What do you live for? In our culture, as I was reflecting that, what does our culture say to us? By and large, when you're in the school place, in the marketplace, in the workplace, what are the messages you tend to hear about what you're made for? Stay with me. Now you tell me, is this right? The messages are typically, you are made to like have more, to win big, you know, to look good, to feel good. Some way or another, it tends to be do what makes you happy. Cheer for a winning team. The Patriots fans, I'm sorry this week, you know. But since we're made to do what makes us happy, right, as some would say, then we're compelled. What are we compelled to do? Get another degree? Get a better job, get some nicer friends. Like one of you said recently, I've been meaning to get one of those, you know, a friend. And get a bigger house, get a newer car. If it's relationships, how do we tend to think? Well, they exist to make me happy, of course. That's what we're told, right? So I blame them or leave them when they don't. And, or I see them as a means to an end to get me something. Now, that's where a lot of us live, is it not? Get this. The Bible says that relationships are not just a means to an end, but they're actually an end in themselves. Crazy idea, right? So today we're going to launch this series on relationships. We're calling it Built to Last, but I want to suggest to you that a key thing, the main thing, the thing fundamentally you're made for are relationships. So how are you made? What are you made for? And what are the kinds and qualities of relationships you're made for? That's what we'll do today. Now, we're going to begin at the beginning. If you don't know much about the Bible, that's fine. But if you have one close to you, you might have a printed copy in front or get on your device, your iPhone. I know you don't have a new one quite yet. That's coming soon, right? And but Genesis chapter 1 is right in the very beginning, because guess what? In the very front of the Bible, we begin to read about this. And so I want to reflect from the very first chapter of Genesis. So it's easy to find. It's the first page in the Bible. And let's read together in Genesis 1, 26 and 27. Now, here's the backdrop. This is the creation account. And God has spoken things into being. If you read Genesis chapter 1, there's this and that and the other, and God says it was good. And then we come to verse 26 in Genesis 1, and it says, so God said, let us make humankind, that's like people, in our image, according to our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over the wild animals of the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. So, God created mankind in his image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. Now, this goes on to say God blessed them and so on. And in verse 31, it actually says, for the first time, this was very good. Before it was good. Now this is very good. What is it that's very good or excellent? When God created people, I want you to notice a couple things about this. The pronoun changes. It's he created and now it's us. Let us make humankind in our image. Now, for some time, Bible scholars have said, isn't that interesting? It's now us and our. And you might say, huh, well, in Hebrew, plural was used to reflect majesty. Like, you know, if we say heavens, or kings would refer to themselves in times of, with, it's like, it's a majestic image, the plural. And you might say, yeah, that's okay. Well, and other scholars have said, well, isn't this an early hint about the Trinity, an early reference, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, us, let us. Some have said, this is the first recorded committee meeting. You know, the Godhead got together and said, let us. And that's actually a good picture. The Father, Son, and Spirit meeting and saying, let's do this. What are they going to do? We know this by the, I want to just, if you track this biblically, we know that this is the case. In John 1 and in Colossians 1 in your Bible, it says Christ, God's Son, was at work in creation. We can go to Job 33 and Psalm 104 and say, the Holy Spirit was at work in creation. It is very fair to say the Father, Son, and Spirit got together and said, let us create people. And it was very good. Now, Eastern religions, friends, say that God is basically an impersonal God. In the Christian faith has this picture of God being a very personal God. Not only a God in community, Father, Son, and Spirit, but a God of person and personality. a great mind of days gone by, Augustine. Some of you studied him if you took philosophy. And Augustine said, only the Christian God is a relational community, delighting and loving and communicating. Think about that. In the Trinity, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we have understanding that the ultimate reality is what? It's relational. Have you thought about that? Adam and all people since, we go on to read, are made by God and made in His image. This is profound. So here's the answer to the question, how are we made? You'll see it up there. You are created in God's image. At the end of this morning, I want to talk a little bit more about some implications of that. But the first great truth of the Bible in regard to man is we are made in God's image. Why? To reflect Him and to reflect His glory. The first time, then, after people are made, and God said, you know, God made people in His image, and it says it's very good. We need to go a little bit further in the book of Genesis and check out Genesis 2, verse 18. Now, are you following this? God creates, there's paradise. The Garden of Eden, nothing's unspoiled by sin or tragedy or storm or anything yet. So, paradise. And God walks with Adam, and Adam walks with God. And you might say, that boy, can you picture? Would that not have been nice? You know, like good food? You know, beauty? Paradise? But then we come to this interesting verse in Genesis 2, verse 18, and it reads this way, then the Lord God said, it is not good. The first time in the Bible that something is called not good. You remember what it is? It is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper, as a partner, God says. That idea is that I will make a companion, one fitting. There were lots of plants and trees and animals and birds and fish. And Adam's in paradise, but God said it's not good. It is not yet perfect. Adam had perfect, unbroken communion with God at this point. God Himself said something is not good. And it's that he was alone. Why? Because we're designed for relationship, aren't we? God designed us that way. We are made for relationship with one another. We begin learning right away in Genesis, and with God. This is how we are made in God's image. Here's the key idea for today. If you're thinking about football or what you're going to eat afterwards or whatever, I want you to get this. So paradise in our lives today, paradise then or today is not fully paradise without relationship. So some of you have been thinking, yeah, but you don't understand my relationship life. It's been more like hell than it's been paradise. And as we're going to go on and talk about different important relationships in our life throughout this series. But from the Bible, right away, we begin to understand that paradise is never fully paradise without good relationship. And a little bit later, as God creates Eve, check this out in chapter 2, verse 23. There's this great verse where Adam responds to his companion that we know of as Eve, and he says, this at last. That's a great word. It's like finally. You know, he's been around beauty. He's been around God. He's been around the animals. He's been around the beauty of nature. But now Adam says, you know, in the Hebrew, you know what this means? It's like, here's a translation. Whoa, ho, ho. Now, that's kind of like what the Hebrew says when Adam first sees Eve. At last, finally, relationship. So you might be thinking, what are the qualities of relationship that we need? you're beginning to think about that, right? Because you might say, man, relationship, that's kept me up at night more than anything else. With the storm today, you're concerned some about Florida, but you're mainly concerned about relationships, are you not? Yeah, we are. If you have family or friends there. Relationships are what we're made for. We're made for relationship with God and with one another. What are the qualities? At the very end of Genesis chapter 2, reflect on one more part of the scripture this morning. In Genesis 2, verse 25, it has this picture in paradise after God created. The man and his wife were both naked and were not ashamed. You might say, oh, okay. Well, now those are two important relationships. What does that mean? There was full vulnerability and complete authenticity without shame. Those are two characteristics or qualities of relationship: vulnerable, authentic, transparent, not hiding, and being without shame. Now, some of you are going, yeah, but that hasn't worked real well. Well, we want to talk in through this series about, from the Bible, what are some of the ways we can move more into these kind of relationships, because that's how God has made us. It's what we're made for. We're designed for quality relationship with Him and with others. Some of you say, yeah, but if so-and-so really knew me, they actually wouldn't like me. And so you know what you do? You hide parts of yourself intentionally to try to get people to like you or to love you. And we do that, don't we? Or some of you say, to be free without shame, you know, I for sure need to hide parts of myself. So sometimes we're inauthentic that others might like us or love us, or we're partially transparent so that we might not feel any more shame than we already do. We're going to go in and talk more about these kinds of things. What about our relationships in marriage, when we're single, in our friendships? Those are the kind of things that we have scheduled to talk with you in the coming weeks. But for now, let's leave it with this foundational thing. I want you all to lock in today. What are you made for? And I'm going to close with some implications of this. You ought to all be able to say, I am made in God's image, and I am made for relationship with God and with others. Is that fair? That's right from the very beginning in the Word of God. That implies, by the way, if we don't have relationship with God and others as He intends, we are, we're a train wreck. We're finding something else to try to fill those gaps. You know about it. Here are some implications I thought about this week. If you say, why is it that people have worth or dignity, it's right here. Because people, every person is created in God's image. So how is it that we engage everyone, young, old, healthy, broken, no matter the color of skin, no matter the background, every person is created in God's image and has dignity and worth because of that. That's the key implication. We're distinct from animals. Animals were not created in God's image from Genesis 1. People were. So there's a distinction. The second implication is, we've already talked about, we are made for relationship with God and with other people. When you get up in the morning, is that on your radar? Now, I know you have things to do. You've got exams to pass. You've got projects to get done. You've got, but guaranteed, friends, you know, for me and for you, when I listen, there is a fulfillment when we're growing in relationship with God and one another. It's not just getting a better car or getting a project done or passing an exam. Those things don't tend to like really bring meaning to our lives, do they? But when there's quality relationship, oh boy, there's a lot of meaning in that. You know what I'm talking about. And so those of you who are here today saying, well, okay, the Bible says I'm made for relationship, but here's the thing. There's just too much pain in my heart. And so I'm gonna avoid. I've got to avoid. Relationships have not been good. I'm staying away. Would you entertain a different idea about what it takes to bring healing to your heart and to move toward godly relationships? It's how God's designed you. Or you might say, it's just too hard. I've tried it, it's too hard. I'd rather just get my life, you know, do what I need to do in my life. Relationships are too hard. You know what I say to that? Good. That's a hard good. Relationships are hard. And when we live well in hard relationships, there's a great beauty. God does that with us. Can you imagine how difficult you are for God, you and me? And we are with one another, but we're not completely who we are to be unless we're living in and growing up in hard relationships, sometimes difficult relationships. There's also joy, but a lot of times it's hard. That's good. You might say it takes too much time. I say, good. You might say it's too frustrating or difficult. I say, good. Stay with it. We'll have more godly relationships, right? It's how we grow. It's who we're made to be. So one implication is we all have dignity and value because we're created in God's image. The second is we are made for relationships with God and one another. Don't avoid them, please. Walk through them, into them, and grow. The third one is being an image bearer, like it says in Genesis 1 and 2. It means, you know, we're designed also for creative, redemptive activity. Have you noticed that? Some of you say, what kind of work should I do? Well, I don't know. It ought to fit your interests and gifts. But one thing I do know is that most people I talk with that are satisfied in work and life, there's not only relationship, there's also creative, redemptive activity. Is that part of what you're doing? You know, if you say, well, I compose. Yeah, that's cool. That's creating, isn't it? You might say, I design. That's great. That's great. You might say, I fix things. That's redemptive. You're taking what's broken and make it, see? That's image of God, being creative and redemptive in how we live in the context of our relationships. Got it? So this is a simple foundation right from the beginning of the Bible. What are we saying? You and I, we are made for relationship with God and one another. And it gets really rich when there's an imaging of God and being creative and redemptive as we live out our lives in relationship. You might say, well, you haven't talked much about this relationship with God. So let me just say that at the end because we're going to celebrate that now. Some of you are here saying, you know, if God really knew me, I don't think he'd like me. So I kind of avoid him. Actually, I'm sort of interested. That's why I'm here. But I haven't fully entered into relationship with God because of, I don't know that he would like me all that much. But I want you to know today that God says, I created you. I love you. God actually sees you and knows you more than we realize. He sees us fully and knows us completely, but guess what? He still loves us completely even though he sees us. Isn't that amazing? That's what God's like. And we know that because he so loves you. We know from the other parts of the Bible that he ended up sending his son Jesus to redemptively and creatively die for you so that you could be free from this kind of guilt and shame and be restored in relationship with God. You and I are designed for relationship. And that will kick off this series. But let's begin that now this morning by not only holding that key thought, that key idea and the implications of what we're made for, what we're designed for, but it begins really with our relationship with God and who you are in light of your relationship with him. We celebrate that here through the Lord's table and the elements of Christ who gave his life. He died that we might have life. And that's what we celebrate. That is our way into relationship with God. And that's why we celebrate this every Sunday. Now, so focus on your relationship with God. In weeks to come, we're going to dive into some details about relationships in marriage, relationships in singleness, relationships in friendship. As the music worship team comes up, would you pray with me right now? Father, we have considered now again this morning what we are made for. We want to pause on purpose right now and say, we understand from the Bible, Lord, that you created us. You created us in your image, meaning that we are a relational people. We are designed to be creative. We are designed to be redemptive. We are designed to reflect who you are and your glory. Yet we confess that we can't do that by ourselves on our own. And so we come back to the very core of what you have done for us in Christ. Thank you that you see us, you know us, you love us, you have provided for us at the cross that we might have fullness of relationship with you, Lord, and then richness of relationship with one another. Continue to lead us in that, we pray, for Jesus' sake. Amen.